Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gradick, your host. It's been my pleasure over the last several years to have as my guest for an Independence Day program, Carrollton coach and teacher Nick White, who's in the studio today. This year on the July program, I was struck particularly how a couple of famous sentences in the Declaration summed up so much. Quote, they read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed," unquote. Today is Constitution Day in America. We are pleased to have in studio, along with Coach White, Mike Harvey, Carrollton High School Social Studies Chair and AP Government Teacher. Mike and Nick are very much welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mike, if you would, take us from the Declaration to the passage of the Constitution, including the influence of the early state constitutions and the need to revise the Articles of Confederation.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. The once the colonies achieved their independence and they were essentially this new nation, there was a little bit of a reaction. We talk about it in our class about the Goldilocks situation and the fact that after the Revolution, there was the tendency to go toward creating this confederation because of the concern of centralizing a government under essentially a tyrannical kind of power. And so there was sort of an overreaction to, on purpose, make this new central government weak on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so the states, when they came together, creating the Articles of Confederation, essentially created a government with that in mind.
Yeah, and for those of you listening at home like me that need the breakdown there, part of that is if you've dated a certain type of girl that looks a certain way and she broke your heart real bad, you're going to date somebody that looks a little different after that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that's essentially what they did.
I would have said it a little differently, but I agree. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's essentially what they did. They dated a different girl.
That's right.
In this sense. And what they did was, they created this government, and the government was not able to function as efficiently as they had hoped. It had its advantages if you're a state looking to do your own thing. And if you're a state and you wanted to have your own currency, Articles of Confederation was the way to go. If you're a state and you wanted to broker your own deals with foreign nations, Articles of Confederation was the way to go. But unfortunately, when you're talking about trying to act in the way of a nation and do things such as regulate trade between the states and settle differences, again, the Articles of Confederation was not the best government for that. And there were lots of problems along the way in those 3 years between the setup of the Articles of Confederation and when basically the key individuals in states realized that we needed to have a different form of government with a convention, with a constitutional convention.
Part of the problem, too, was maintaining and funding an army, was it not?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Because the government could ask the states for money, but could not demand that money, and thus could not create enough of a sufficient force to be able to enforce the laws. And so you have all these little rebellions creeping up. Yeah. Of course, the most notable being Shays Rebellion in Massachusetts. And that was pretty much the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
You know.
So in a sense, this was really the first time we see the idea of a federal tax, correct?
Yes. I would definitely say that this is when we start to see this notion that there's going to have to be some part of the government that's going to have to basically pay for necessary, and in this case necessary defense.
So I understand when they went to the convention, it wasn't to develop a constitution, it was to revise the articles.
It was, and that's one of the things that students often don't appreciate, is the fact that when these individuals arrived in Philadelphia, they were essentially going against the government. They were in some ways treasonous. The Articles of Confederation had provided that in order to change it, it required unanimous consent among all the states. Well, not all the states attended the Constitutional Convention. So right away, you're looking at doing something that was not going to be endorsed by every state. So you're going against the actual charter of the Articles of Confederation. But the delegates realized just how dire things were, and they had to take these steps, even with the idea that what they were doing was going against the Articles of Confederation. It was absolutely necessary in order to create this new government and fix these issues, that you weren't going to be able to just tweak the Articles of Confederation to improve it. They realized we need to start fresh. We need to start brand new and create something better.
Address that, because there they are, and they've got this dilemma. Yeah, I mean, it's a real dilemma, and we think about these learned, brilliant men, but it was contentious. I mean, it was a tough time together, wasn't it?
It was. That summer in Philadelphia, it was hot. It was, tensions were high. They were meeting in secret because, again, what they were doing, again, was going against what the articles said. So they couldn't publicize what they were doing. So they would meet in these rooms, windows kind of, closed so nobody could kind of eavesdrop.
No air conditioning.
In the evenings when they went on the town, they would kind of have to kind of keep an eye on each other. I know there were some that were trying to keep an eye on Benjamin Franklin, the oldest delegate there.
Oh, come on.
Who he kind of liked to socialize.
Enjoyed and the nightlife.
He did.
How old was he? So he was 70 something.
He was up there in his 70s.
Okay, yeah, we're 70s, familiar 80s. With that yeah, in today's yeah. world. Go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, yes, and so when they came together to meet, there were significant differences among the delegates in terms of what they wanted. The biggest dilemma was representation in this new government. Mm-hmm. Under the Articles of Confederation, you had every state represented equally. Well, in this new government, large states in particular, like Virginia, New York, they felt they were at a disadvantage, with all the people that they had living in their state. They felt like they had a claim to more representation. But at the same time, smaller states, New Jersey, Rhode Island, states like that. Of course, Rhode Island wasn't there. They were the one that kind of boycotted the convention. But these smaller states felt like if they gave the bigger states, all the power, then they would lose out.
You're starting to make the case for the Electoral College, and that'll be a separate program we'll have to do. But you've already described the brilliance of the Electoral College in a lot of ways. Before we go to our first break, tell us more so about the debate and in the Independence Hall and how it went. Everybody had a desk, and everybody was a little bit on edge. And Washington was the president of it.
They were, and Washington's presence there likely saved the day in terms. His stature in the new nation was such that even though what they were doing was, like we said, going against the Articles of Confederation and somewhat treasonous, his being there was key to, I think, the success of the convention. And they realized, even though they had these deep disputes, it wasn't just the dispute over representation. It was the dispute over how they were going to choose the president. Were we going to have a single president? Are we going to have a committee of presidents,
right,
so to
What's
speak?
It look like?
What does it look like? Yeah. There were multiple areas of dispute. And despite that, they knew that they needed to come together to create something Yeah. Otherwise, you know, this article is, you know, they knew it wasn't going to be successful in the long run.
Yeah, without him, that doesn't happen. Like, exactly. I don't think people understand how big of a rock star, so to speak, George Washington
was. He would come into town, everybody would line the streets. Yeah, it's they do today. But with him, you know, we're talking about horses and carriages.
Right. And he was it. Like, now today we have several rock stars. No, he was the rock star. And without him, he legitimized what was happening, like Mr. Harvard.
Yeah, like you were saying, Mike, I mean, basically, if he hadn't been there, this may never happen.
Exactly. He was key to its success, no doubt.
We're going to take a break. We got a lot more to talk about with Coach Nick White and Mike Harvey after these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Customized Academic Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice as we recognize Constitution Day. When we speak of the unalienable rights from God in the Declaration, and we acknowledge the makeup of so many of the colonists who fled religious persecution under the monarchs, we see the thought process of restraining the impulses of man through the separation of powers. And so we're going to get to that next. But a way to set the stage for that is for Coach Nick White to read the preamble from the U.S. Constitution.
I'm going to read from my pocket constitution that was provided to me generously by a benefactor named Steve Graddick.
Yay,
by the way,
and
a lot of students get this. But I do want to read this. It is the preamble of the Constitution. It says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America," the United States. And I think this really just sets the tone on, A, why there was a need for the Constitutional Convention, a need for a brand new start right here. And it's that first sentence, in order to form a more perfect union. It's not
Absolutely.
Perfect, but a more, what we had was flawed, and we needed to establish something that was better than what we had.
You know, some people wonder why they did what they did, but they did what they did in a large part because they were convinced that the colonies must stay together as one nation.
Right. And I know that coming in, we were talking about this, you know, that last part says, for the United States of America.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to let Mr. Harvey kind of expound upon that. But one of the things that's big for me in this, all of the things that we want to promote and establish are great, but it says for ourselves and for our posterity, for something that's going to last when we're gone, right? You know, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, great men are the ones that plant trees that they'll never sit under the shade of, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so these are men that are doing things for generations to come. Their writing, as we'll get to talk about, transcended who they were as people. What they did in this document and in the Declaration and what they did far outweighs who they were as individuals, because we're all flawed individuals, but at our peak, we can do some really amazing things. And our founding fathers, Madison, the folks that were involved in creating this right here, really did truly an amazing work. And they didn't do it for themselves. They did it for generations of following Americans.
And Mike, in order to make this a legacy, a long-lasting phenomenon, you had to diffuse and divide the power.
Absolutely. That was key. And you know, these founding fathers, they knew, they were students of individuals who had come about in this time in the Enlightenment, who were really challenging the prescribed notion of what government was all about. Yeah. I mean, you know, they were essentially still, you know, in the waning years of the age of despotism, where you had, you know, most of the world was essentially governed by kings and emperors and a single. Yeah, and they were creating something new and really saying, hey, you know, we want to have a government that is not controlled by a king. We want to have a government, and again, it's that notion of we the people,
right?
You know, this popular sovereignty that the people hold the power. But in order to do that, you know, they had to have some key ingredients. And there were really three key ingredients that the Constitution is built on. And it's really federalism, it's separation of powers, and then going along with that, checks and balances. Yeah. You know, I talk in my class, you know, we go over some of the key Federalist papers. That there were these documents that were written in defense of the Constitution, right, when they were trying to get it ratified, get it approved. And in the Federalist Papers, especially in Federalist 51, mm-hmm, James Madison talks about, and of course you mentioned it, you know, if men were angels, no government would be necessary.
Right.
So, but, you know, obviously men are not angels, so mm-hmm, we have to have these protections in place. In another Federalist paper, James Madison talks about the mischief of factions, and he talks about the fact that in any free society, you're going to have various groups that are going to be competing for power. And in a free society, you want people to be able to join whatever groups they want and to be able to argue and to be able to fight for what they want. So you have to be able to kind of create a government to control that. And the necessary ingredients to do that, again, it's this idea of separation of powers, yep, and checks and balances, yep, to be able to ensure that the government can protect itself from the other parts of the government
that
would try to get power. Exactly, protect it from itself.
Yeah.
And so those are all key ingredients that, while we might criticize our government, especially from the point that it may be moved slow and it's you know, it's not as efficient as other governments, you know, that was done on purpose.
Right.
It was, you know, we want to frustrate our government to the point that it's whatever policy that gets created is for the good of society.
Right. And we wanted to keep it limited too.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's key.
And that's the big issue,
yes,
of today. You use the term federalism, and I've always gotten confused with that, because you're not talking about a big expansive federal government. You're actually talking about the states and their constitutions, and I mean, that's one of the critical areas of the dispersion of power, is because you have state and local governments.
It is, and of course that was a cornerstone from the beginning, because, you know, we're talking about these states coming together,
right,
you know, to create this government, and so any new government was not going to be successful if it just took all the power away from the states.
Right.
You know, states were going to be recognized as partners in this new government, and by creating this new government, there has to be, and this is what the Constitution does, there has to be a clear delineation of what, you know, the states would be able to do and what the federal government, and really more on the side of what the federal government was supposed to do. And that's what the Constitution was designed to kind of create.
And you can see the fact that these men were learned men, because they look back on the histories, right? And you look,
yes,
at like an ancient Greece, who dealt with something very similar with all their different city-states, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried it the first time, and some places were upset because they felt like they were out of the loop as far as what, like Sparta was upset with Athens and so on and so forth. So they look back at stuff like this and go, wait a minute, this was, they tried to do the right thing and solidify, but there were problems. Let us not have those problems by allowing that diffusion of power like you're talking about.
I think that's an important point, in that they were learned, and so they could look back at the Magna Carta, they could look at the colonies, the Massachusetts Bay Colony, Plymouth, Mayflower,
right,
Compact,
yes,
the English Book of Common Law, etc. And so they drew from all that. It wasn't they just got together and said,
right,
hey, this sounds like a good idea.
Right, right.
So,
throw it against the wall. Let's see what's
there. See what's
right, right. Let's pick some of this out of a hat and say, oh, okay. This
all right, we're going to take our second break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about the Bill of Rights. But first, these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. As we note Constitution Day, we have in studio Coach Nick White. He's a wrestling coach and history teacher. I don't even think I've mentioned. Yeah, I did mention Carrollton High School.
And Mike, go Trojans.
Go yes, Trojans. Sir. The Trojans.
And Trojan Nation. And Mike Harvey is the Carrollton High School Social Studies Chair and AP Government teacher. So we welcome both of them. A lot of times when people talk about the Constitution, they talk primarily about the Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. first, 10 amendments, et cetera. Tell us a little bit of the story about how that came about and why that was an issue at the time.
So I'll kind of lead in and throw it back to Mr. Harvey here. But there was a lot of people that were worried that we were going to go back to a similar situation, with that first girlfriend that we talked about,
right.
and not have a whole lot of rights and freedoms. And so they had spent these years, a lot of these men fought in the American Revolution and then lived under the Articles of Confederation with what they felt like was a superior freedom. And they didn't want to lose some of those individual rights and freedoms that they felt like they had fought for. And so, a lot of folks felt like it was necessary to get some of those in writing protected before they went on. And I know without it we don't get this thing passed, but that's kind of the ideology, I think, of folks like a Patrick Henry, and you talked about George Mason off air, is we need to get these things in writing to make sure that we're in good shape as far as individual rights and freedoms as well.
Is this how you get students to pay attention to girlfriends and boyfriends?
Sir, yes, sir. And unapologetically so. Yes, sir, that is the case, because if you just read this thing verbatim, this is written in a lot of language we don't use anymore,
right?
It's English, but it's not current 2024 right. English, and so we do have to change things up. And I know Mr. Harvey does a good job at that as well, and getting out all the nuts and bolts of this thing. And
well, we call it old English, don't we?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sounds great.
Yeah, it's super well written, but without these 10, it doesn't get passed.
It doesn't. No, and. I appreciate that we're bringing this up. Since this is Constitution Day, it is a sad fact that there are a lot of adults that do not know many of the protections in the Bill of Rights. So I think that is that's something that we definitely want to work on.
Yes.
Is to make sure that everybody understands
these
what those
are to
protections
protect
are.
Individual liberty.
Yes, absolutely, and essentially, it's a shield. It's a shield mm-hmm. that you and I have from the government, from abuse on the part of the government. And originally, the Bill of Rights was seen as a necessary part, especially for those who were really reluctant to accept this new Constitution that was giving this power, compared to what the Articles had to this new
right.
this new government. And so there needed to be some wall of protection between this new big bad government, so
yep.
to speak,
right.
and the individuals in various societies around
yep.
around the states. And so the Bill of Rights, serve that need.
I always like to ask, how many freedoms were there in the First Amendment? There are five.
That's right.
And you're absolutely right when you said people need to know these things, mm-hmm. whether it's the first, second, third, fourth. I mean, those are just so critical.
Absolutely. They are. And, you know, when you're talking about all the different amendments and how they're created, and this is something, you know, of course, the Bill of Rights being key, all of those kind of arriving at once. But even beyond that, there are additional amendments right. that have been added to the Constitution too.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, that I think that just speaks to how well the document was written. So when it was written, obviously you have your 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, which do protect your personal rights and freedoms. And in depth, you know, that I think they were implied probably in the Constitution, but there's some folks that wanted that in writing, and I'm glad they did,
that
obviously.
Because the debate.
You know, because we got them in writing, so that's a good thing. But after that, guys, there's only been 17 changes to this document, right? And two of those canceled each other out. Yeah. You could sell alcohol, you can't sell alcohol, and all those good things. But so 15 legitimate changes to a document that was so well written, you know, a couple hundred years ago. And so I'm thankful that we got those individual rights and freedoms in there, because I do feel like that is part of what makes America, America, right? That's what makes our government, our Constitution a little different. Is from the beginning, we had the forethought to make sure that in black and white and in writing, we're going to protect the individual rights and freedoms of our people. We're going to protect the state's rights to do kind of, and we didn't talk about that a lot, but the separation of powers there. And we're going to protect the government's right to lead us and keep us safe. As again, if you go back to the preamble, to form a more perfect union, to defend everybody, to keep everybody's rights and freedom safe. This was a document that wasn't just about, you know, 1791. It was about 2024 as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you compare it to other constitutions around the world. I think, you know, obviously the British Constitution. Well, the British have a constitution, but it's what we would call a loose constitution. Right. It's you know, documents here, documents there, tradition, rulings, common law all over the time. Well, our Constitution is, you know, I mean, you're looking at a document less than 5,000 words, you know, that are basically put on paper, and yet it's created in such a way that it maintains its flexibility to be able to be, you know, interpreted right. and stand the test of time. I mean, that's it's amazing. It really is remarkable.
Because the principles are long lasting. The principles Absolutely. Behind it, you know, rights come from God rather than man.
Absolutely.
And the power of the government, it comes from the consent of the people. Absolutely. What do y'all, as we have to wrap it up, what do y'all tell your students in terms of learning more? And I guess first thing is simply read the Constitution. How do y'all encourage them to learn more and to dig deeper?
Well, for me, it's what you said and Mr. Harvey alluded to, is you need to know what rights and liberties and powers that you have, right? But you also need to know how to function. I believe in civic duty, right? I believe that we all have that responsibility. And so if we're going to fulfill that duty to our communities, which is what you're doing with this show, right? If we're going to fulfill our duties to our states, our local governments, and just our neighbors, we've got to know what we can and cannot do and the right way to do things as well. And so I think it just helps you become a better citizen, right? When we talk about citizenship and stuff like that in government. And so if you don't know it, you're not going to be as effectual as you do. And you know, obviously I'm a coach, but if you don't know all of the things that are available to you in football, let's just say, if you don't know all the plays, if you don't know how to line up, where to line up, and how to get things done, you're not going to be as successful as you would if you were well-studied. And so that's kind of the way I try to lead it to my guys. Yeah, I know it's not fun to read, right? This is an old language, but like if you do and you understand it, you're going to be more successful, A, as an individual, but B, your communities will be better served because of you.
Absolutely. And I echo what Coach White said. I mean, this is the rule book. This is essentially the rule book by which our government works. And if you really want to understand the government, this is it right here. This is where you start.
Our gratitude this morning to Coach Nick White, wrestling coach and history teacher at Carrollton High, and to Mike Harvey, Carrollton High School Social Studies Chair and AP Government Teacher. And both you, to you gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in. I've enjoyed it enormously. And we thank you for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.